All right, this morning we're going to depart from our norm just a little bit, and we're going to be hearing from portions of God's Word. We're going to be singing, but we're also going to be spending times in prayer. And so I want to take a moment and just try to prepare our hearts for this first time of prayer that we're going to have in just a moment. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to focus in on verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Now, I'm not going to ask you to stand, but I am going to ask you to lean in close to the Word of God and just really focus your heart on the thought of this verse for just this moment. And Paul writes to us and he says these words, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And we want to start off this morning with a focus that begins with us as the people of God just turning to the Lord and asking for Him to do a work in our hearts. You know, as we start off this thing for revival, the one thing that grips my heart is that as we prepare for revival, revival won't start out here somewhere. Revival won't begin at the school. Revival won't begin at in the seat of government. Revival won't start somewhere outside. Revival begins with the people of God. And we read a moment ago, we heard that verse a moment ago, 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people who are called by my name." But the biggest word in that entire verse is the first one. If. Because I'm going to tell you, we can sit here a bunch of pious, sanctimonious windbags, and we can pretend that we're all good, that there's nothing wrong in our life, that there's no need for us to be on our knees before God, there's no need for us to repent of sin, there's no need for us because we're in church. We're living a pretty good life. We're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Well, I just want to tell you, it doesn't begin out there. It doesn't begin with our absentee members. It doesn't begin with people who've gotten away from God. It begins with the people of God who begin to cry out and call out and say, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." Revival comes when we begin to pour out our hearts to God and we begin to ask God to cleanse us and to change us from what we are. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved." Paul is not writing to folks who are out here somewhere on the fringes. He's writing to his core group. He's writing to the people that he knows and he loves there in the church at Corinth. And folks, I'm not saying this to people out there somewhere. I'm saying this to us. We need today, ourselves, you and me, we need to turn to God in repentance and say, "Oh God, for every way that I have turned away from You, for every moment that I have allowed anything to come between You and me, I need to ask Your forgiveness." The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us of most of our unrighteousness. It says Alden, "and to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness." And folks, you know, the fact is that when you walk into a restaurant and you sit down at a table, you look at that table and say, "Wow, this is cool. Somebody's already been here. It's already ready for us to eat. There's dishes here already, and forks and spoons and knives and napkins, somewhat dirtied up, but But you know, everything's here. We're ready to eat. Is that the way we do it? No. We go in and that table's not ready. It's dirty. There's crumbs and ketchup and you know, some little kid's been throwing French fries all over the seat and the floor and the table and everywhere else. And we stand there and look with this indignant look on our faces as we look at that. I'm not sitting there. And we call the waitress over, the waiter. We clean this up. We can't sit there. We can't. Bring us some fresh, newly washed silverware. Bring us clean plates. We don't want any of that stuff. Well, folks, when God looks down at His people and He sees the crumbs and the leftovers and the dirt from our life that we've lived, the words we've spoken, the thoughts we've thought, the things that we've done and said, when God sees that, it does not please Him. It does not draw Him to want to use us. It does not bring Him to the place where He's ready to put His hand on us and do something great through us. And there needs to be a cleansing. We need to have our hearts and our minds and our souls cleansed. And it's not a once a year thing. It's not a once in a great while thing. It is daily, and sometimes it's more often than that. I want to call you this morning to turn to the Lord and to ask for His forgiveness for sin. Maybe there's somebody that you've had cross words with. Maybe there's somebody that you can't stand to be around. Maybe there's things that God's been dealing with you about and you haven't responded. I want to encourage you this morning. Turn to God. I want to encourage you this morning to confess sin. Call it what it is. Name it. And agree with God. Lord, this is what Jesus died on the cross for. And today I am giving it to You. I am humbling myself. I am turning to You. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You don't have to worry about what the preacher's going to do to you if you don't get right. You don't have to worry about me. Even though one of my church members told one of his buddies that his pastor was mean. Couldn't believe it. Just hurt my heart. But not really. I'm kidding. But oh, listen, you don't have to worry about me. I'm not your Holy Spirit. When you lay your head on your pillow tonight, I won't be there to speak to you, to remind you, to get on to you. It's not my job. But if you're a child of God, the Holy Spirit of God will be there. And He will be speaking to you. And so I want us to go to the Lord in a time of prayer. I'm going to ask Susie to come to the piano and just to play for these few moments. And as we enter into this time of prayer, here's what I want to ask us to do. I want to ask you to humble yourself. For some of you, that's as simple as bowing your head and closing your eyes. For some of you, that's getting on your knees before God. For some of you, that's getting on your face before God. And I want to encourage you to humble yourself this morning. And I want to encourage you to take that a step further than maybe what you typically do. If you're able, I want to encourage you to get on your knees before God. You can come to the altar and do it, or you can get right there in your pew. You can make an altar right there where you are. Say, well, what will people think? They might think you're a Christian. They might think you're concerned about your life before God. They might think something good. Because I promise you, they got their own mess to deal with this morning. So if you're able, I want to encourage you to do that. If you can't do that, I understand. You just can't bring yourself to do it, I understand. Boy, I understand. I've been there. But I'm going to pray God will give you a freedom to humble yourself. So we're going to begin to pray. And then after a few moments, I'm going to call on Zach, and he's going to lead us in prayer. But right now, let's just bow our heads. Let's humble our hearts, humble ourselves. Let's get before God. Let's pour out our hearts to God. I want you to think with me for a moment about these first two verses. Romans 12, verse 1. Paul says to us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This morning, let me just say, Paul is writing to folks who already have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, that's where you need to begin. You need to turn to Him in repentance and in faith and say, oh God, I need You in my life. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. And I need You. And it's not enough to know about Him. It's not enough to be a church member. It's not enough to be religious. You need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you don't have it, I want to encourage you, don't wait for the end of the service to get it. Okay? I was reading about some of the revival services that revival times, true revival, when God poured out revival, and people interrupting the preacher. Now, I don't generally like to be interrupted. But if God begins to deal with your heart, your soul, and convict you, and you say, Brother Tim, I need to be saved. What do I need to do to be saved? You can interrupt me at any moment. That's all right. That's just fine. Because that's where it begins. But then, and what we've done so far, we've confessed sin to God. I hope you've really taken that seriously. You've opened up your heart to God. You've humbled yourself. You've poured out what was there. But now we need to draw near. We need to draw near. You know, we need to draw near. We need to be filled with His presence and with His power and His strength. Because I don't know if any of you are like this, but I've had moments when I've asked God to forgive me of sin, but then I had to think, well, but I've also asked Him to forgive me of that sin also back here and maybe back here and back here, and I've just done it again, and I've done it again. And folks, we're going to keep on doing those same things until the Spirit of God begins to work in our heart and change us, and the Spirit of God begins to renew our mind, transform our mind, change the way we think. And folks, I want to invite you in this next moment, we're going to pray again, and we're going to ask God to do a work in drawing us near to Himself. Okay? Drawing us near. And just helping us to lean in close and to get right into His heart. You know, you see the picture of the Apostle John in the Gospel of John. You see, when he refers to himself, it's always the disciple that Jesus loved. And you see him leaning in on Jesus' breast. You see him just leaning right up against the Lord Jesus. And folks, we need to lean in today. We need to be drawn closer, closer, closer. And some might say, well, but preacher, I'm a little bit afraid of that. I think I need to keep a little distance here. Well, I understand that. I've been there. But it's not a good place. And I want to encourage you this morning to lean in closer and closer and closer. And so we're just going to ask God to do a work of, and if you need to, keep your Bible open as you pray. And as you pray, let the Word of God inform your praying and shape your praying, because what a great thing that is. But we want to present ourselves to God, a living sacrifice. Present our bodies to the Lord, a living sacrifice. Okay, from youngest to oldest, we can do that. And I want to encourage you, all it takes is a willing heart. Say, oh God, here I am. I'm yours. Take me, use me, whatever you want me to do, Lord. Whatever you have for me, I'm offering myself to you today. So we're going to do that. And here's how we're going to do it, because I know this is, on one hand, it's a very personal part of the service, but I want us to share some parts of this too. So I'm going to ask you to find somebody that you can just get next to and pray with. Okay? And you can pray for each other in this. And you can, you know, nobody else can pray and offer you, your body, to the Lord as a living sacrifice. But you can pray for each other. So you may want to start off just in your own heart, giving it to God. Just saying, oh God, here I am. Take me. But then I want you to just gather in with somebody right around you. Two or three or four, or, you know, whatever. And we're just going to take a moment. We're just going to have prayer together. We're going to just lift this up to the Lord, okay?
Praying for the lost. If you guys could, please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Before I turn there, I'm going to read a passage out of Revelations. Now I want you guys to listen. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne and one seated on it. Earth and heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by what was written in the books. Then the sea gave up its dead, and death and Hades gave up their dead. All were judged according to their works. Death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone not found written in the book of life was thrown in the lake of fire. For all those that are lost, for all those that have never prayed and asked Jesus to come into their heart and to forgive them of their sins, that is the end for them. That is their fate. So where do we begin whenever we begin praying for the lost? Knowing that that is their fate, we need to begin praying for ourselves, that God will give us a deep burden for the lost. One that is so deep that we can't help but share the gospel with all that we see. A good measure on how your burden is for the lost. Just think back over the past week. How many people that you know that are lost did you share the gospel with? Knowing that their fate is in hell, where the Bible says that there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the Bible says that there is utter darkness, and they'll be tormented forever. How many people have you shared the gospel with in the past week? That shows where your burden is for the lost. If you take Christianity as a whole and look and see how many people are getting saved, think back about the past month, how many times have you received a tract from a stranger? In the past month, how many tracts have you given out? I know this is about prayer, so listen. We need to pray for ourselves that God gives us a deep burden for the lost. That's where it begins. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, "Therefore..." Beginning in verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, because we were shown mercy, we do not give up. Instead, we love, but instead we have renounced shameful secrets, not walking in deceit or distorting God's message, but commending ourselves to every person's conscience in God's sight by an open display of the truth. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves your slaves because of Jesus. For God said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Look with me in verse 4. It says, "In their case, the God of this age," speaking of Satan, "has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." Satan has blinded them to their sin. They don't see anything wrong with the way that they are living. That's why they're lost. So we as Christians, we need to pray that God's the gospel will just pierce through that blindness, that the scales will be removed from their eyes, and that they can see that they need a Savior, that they can see that they are bound for hell. We need to pray that God will make them miserable. That's at that point is when we are burdened for the lost. Whenever we quit praying, just God save them, but we begin to pray that God will make them miserable in their sin, that God will do whatever it takes to save them. Because listen, if they're miserable for a short time here on earth and they pray and receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it's worth it. Because they get heaven and they miss hell. As Christians, we need to have a deep burden for the lost. And we need to pray that God will just show them their sins and show them their iniquities. And in that, they'll become convicted and the Holy Spirit will begin to draw them to Himself. And that is whenever they get saved. So I challenge each and every one of you here to begin to pray for a deep, deep burden for the lost and for yourself. Pray that God will just give you a burden that you can't fight off. And pray for the lost that God will just convict them. We all know lost people. Each and every one of us do. Co-workers, family, friends. We all know lost people. Pray for them and lift them up. We're going to enter a time of prayer.
We just need revival in this church, in every church. And I pray that God will send revival in our hearts and in our lives, in our families. And I pray that He'll send it in these churches sitting over here beside us here in Branch and all up and down this road. I pray that God will move in our day. So in these next few moments, we're going to have an open time, a time of invitation, a time for prayer, a time to respond to something that you felt God saying to you this morning. Because if you've ever been closer to the Lord than you are this morning, if there's ever been a greater love for Christ in your heart than you have today, then you've backslidden. You've lost ground. I want to share this verse from Revelation 2 and then just going to ask Susie to play. And the Lord has a lot of things to say to us. But to the church in Ephesus. Let me switch over for you. Yeah. My battery's done, so I'll stay right here. To the letter to the church in Ephesus. He had some words of commendation. There were some good things in their church. But then he said in verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick from out of its place, except thou repent. And I want to encourage you this morning, if there is any part of your heart today that has moved away from God, if there's anything in your life that you need to get right, maybe there's something you need someone to pray with you about, because sometimes we have stuff, we can't deal with it by ourselves. We need someone to help us. We need someone to pray with us and encourage us and strengthen us. Or maybe God spoke in your heart and He said, you know, the first thing that you need to do is to get saved. You need Christ in your heart. So I'm going to just come and stand here. But I want to ask that this not be a passive time. We've been very focused this morning on praying. I want to encourage you to pray. And you can grab somebody right there in the pew, or you can come to the altar, or you can, whatever you need to do. Whatever God impresses on your heart, you do that. But I want us to spend this moment asking God for a revival. I love the thought of that song, just echoing the words of Scripture, hear us from heaven. Touch our generation. How many more in our generation? How many more have to continue in this world's path until they take their own life? Like I heard just a few minutes ago, this dear lady took her own life last night. How many more? How long will we continue on? When will we begin to cry out to God and say, oh God, help us. We're lost. As a society, we're lost. We need God to come and work again. So let's close this service not with a sleepy little moment. Let's close it with a strong moment of prayer. That we come together and we pray. We plead with God for His answer to where we are. Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd give us a freedom in this moment. God, I pray You'd give us a heart hunger for You. God, I pray You'd just break our heart if there's any remnant, if there's anything in our heart, there's any vestige of sin, of bitterness, of anger, of discouragement, of fear, of envy, of lust, of whatever it may be. God, break our heart over our sin and help us to realize it, that it's our sin that's holding back revival. God, it's our sin that's keeping us from experiencing Your power being poured out. Oh, Father, touch us today, we pray. Move mightily in our hearts.